Vrindavan Mahimamrita, January 20th, 2013. Achastram Shagandair Vyanjan, Vara Tambula Mridupat, Susamvahir Divya Bharana, Vasanadye Pranayano, Mahapremaveshok Pulaka Rasa Gurnayata Tanu. Sada Radha Dasi Smara Ridaya Sevam Vidarati. Vrindavan Das Thakur, Prabhupada Saraswati is addressing his mind and the mind of all of us, unless he's directing us and taking the role of a sadhaka, as all the great devotees do when they write shastras, when they're giving us directives how to do bhajan, what to think of, what to meditate on, what to pray for. So he's telling us this is what we should tell our mind. There are several Gaudiya Vaishnavas have written what they call Manashiksha. The one that's most prominent with us, we've heard of Manashiksha from Raghunath Das Goswami, but there's many Manashikshas from other Bengali devotees, and I've seen them quoted in so-and-so's, some verses, and it says so-and-so's Manashiksha. So I would suppose Shiksha means instructions, Manashiksha means teaching the mind, instructing the mind. And as every sadhaka knows, that the mind is the best of friends or the worst of enemies. And that's what Krishna says in Gita. A mind that listens to spiritual instructions and follows them is the best of friends. But the mind that doesn't take spiritual advice and follows his own ideas and whims is the worst of enemies. Because an enemy is someone that does harm to you, and there's no greater harm than taking birth again. And if you follow the mind, then the surest result of following the mind is rebirth. But when we follow the mind of the sadhus and the saints, and we mold our mind according to their teachings and examples, then liberation is in our hand. So this verse 16th, Shataka, verse 95, translates as, "My dear mind," now what should, he's going to tell the mind to do something, he's going to give an instruction, and we should give the same instruction to our minds. "Always meditate on Sri Radha's maid servants," because in Rupa Goswami's description of Raghunuga Bhakti and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says, "Brajaloka Anusarata." He says, "Brajaloka Anusarata, Anusarata." There's Anukaran and Anusaran. You must have heard these terms, Anusharan. Imitating the Guru or imitating the Parishads of the Lord and following their footsteps. Brajaloka Anusarata means that we should follow in the footsteps of the great devotees of the Lord. What did they do? What did they think of? Practices did they perform when they were here in the tangible physical form, which we call their sadhaka roop? And what do they do in the spiritual world, in their siddhadeya, in service of Radha and Krishna? As we read about their, we see and we their life stories and teachings, we see what they do in this world in the service of Gauranga, primarily, and how they meditate on Radha and Krishna, and how they sing about Radha and Krishna and glorify them. But then they also reveal what they do in the spiritual world. Rupa Goswami, like all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, he has his dual identity, his sadhaka sarup and his nitya sarup. His sadhaka sarup, of course, is also his nitya sarup because he's teaching the role of a sadhaka as a shiksha guru of the abhideya practices of sadhana bhakti. But in his case, his sadhaka rup is actually his form which he serves Lord Gauranga in Nitya Leela. He's also a Brahmin in Gaur Leela, and he's also engaged in Harikatha and Gaur Leela and Kirtan, just like he is here. And then, of course, in Vrindavan Leela, he's Sri Rupa Manjari. So we are in our sadhaka rup as conditioned souls aspiring for liberation, and we're also serving Lord Gauranga by serving his parampara following the teachings of the Parampara, exemplifying them and teaching them to others in the mood of preaching. The outward mission of Lord Chaitanya. And we're also following Lord Chaitanya by identifying with his internal mission and assisting Krishna and Radharani in the eternal service in Vrindavan. But the difference between our sadhaka rupa is that it's made of this material energy, and the sadhaka rupas of the eternal associates of the Lord are all transcendental. But when we become liberated, then we'll get two sarups, one to serve Gauranga. Basically, it's one sarup. It's a seva sarup to serve Radha and Krishna. When Radha and Krishna become Gauranga, then all the associates have to assume another feature of their service, another form. So the form is one. It's a form of seva. But then this Krishna is one, and he expands into unlimited forms of what? Enjoyers. To enjoy in multifarious forms. So all of Krishna's expansions are like that, purushas. But all of his energy exists for his pleasure. So they expand in unlimited forms. There's unlimited Narada Munis and unlimited, because there's unlimited universes. And Narada Muni is traveling and preaching in every one. So in the unlimited universes, all these servants of the Lord are pleasing the Lord. So when we get our sarup and Gaur Lila, then we'll be sadhakas. We'll look like we're sadhakas. We'll be hearing and chanting and following rules and regulations like Lord Chaitanya did in his Navadvipa Lila. And doing very much the same things, but our body will be transcendental, chinmoy. Of course, people think that Krishna took a material body when he appeared in this material world, but he didn't. Neither Krishna took a material body when he appeared in this world, nor did his parishads, because his parishads are his expansions, direct Swarup Shakti. Rupa Mantri is the Swarup Shakti of Krishna, Kayavyuha of Radharani. So it's no less when he becomes Rupa Mantri, Rupa Goswami. He's also transcendental. Raibo. So he's saying that we should meditate on Sri Radha's maidservants who feel transcendental ecstasy. When do they feel ecstasy? When they're doing seva. When does any servant of Krishna feel ecstasy? When he's doing service. And the materialist, when he's enjoying, he feels what he considers to be ecstasy. Bhogvilas. Bhogvilas and, sukh, swarga sukh. Indriya Sukh, the happiness of living in Swarga, or enjoying the physical body and senses. But it really is not ecstasy, although everyone's searching for that ecstasy. So the maidservants, we're supposed to meditate on the maidservants, their forms, their names, their moods of seva, and then how they're feeling transcendental ecstasy. When they're doing seva, what service? Putting flower garlands on their beloved Radha and Krishna. So we're sadhakas and we put flower garlands on our beloved Radha and Krishna, or Gauranitai or Giridhari, and sadhaka rup. Well, we'll do the same thing in siddha rup. It's just a matter of the switch. The switch is the electric switch on the board, on the wall. When you switch it at night, the whole room becomes illuminated with light. And the same thing, when we switch our consciousness, our whole life becomes illuminated with light. Our whole life becomes illuminated with light, the light of pure consciousness, the light of pure realization, where one actually sees, I am so-and-so. This is me. This is my hunkar, my real identity. I am this Brahmin boy serving Gauranga, young Brahmin boy in Mayapur. I am this young Kishori Saki. Kishori Gopi, like that, what was that? Ali Kishori Das Baba, was it? One famous Siddha saint of Gevardhan Barsana Vrindavan Dham. His name is and was Ali Kishori Dasi, Das or Dasi now, whatever. So we are also, it's just a switch of consciousness. The Prabhupada said you can be Krishna conscious in 1 second. Because this whole, like, it's just like, what's the difference between a nightmare and no nightmare? Nightmare means you're sleeping. Nightmare, if you don't know, nightmare means you're sleeping, having a horrible, fearful experience in your subtle body called dream. So what's the difference between the nightmare and then the relief? In just a second, you're sleeping and in a nightmare, and you open your eyes. Relief. I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm safe. So that means you've changed your consciousness, your conscious state of conscious state from swapna to jagrata. You're just like you were swapna, and you were in this fearful situation due to illusion and the illusory productions of your mind and the dream frightening you. And then, in a second, you open, as soon as this time it takes to open your eyes and you're jagrata, the dream is over. So that's how much time it takes to become Krishna conscious. As much time as it takes to open your eyes. And that's why the gopis curse Brahma. Oh, you're making your eyes blink 40 times a minute or something. I forget. It's a long time since I'm in medical school. But I think it was 40 times a minute. The eyelids, we blink. We don't even know it. It's just going on like so much automatic. And so the gopis are cursing, oh, we can't be Krishna conscious for that blink of an eye. And in the one verse, they actually, it's called truti. So the Sanskrit word is truti, and the translation in the Bhagavatam says that a truti is 1/17th of a second. It's translated as a blink of an eye. Oh, providence, oh vidata, oh vidata. Oh providence, oh Brahma, oh creator of this world. You're a fool. It's like a child's game, what you've done. You're like playing some game of a child. You're foolish, stupid. You created eyelids that blink. And then there's other poems where they, in Padyavali places, where the gopis are saying, oh providence, why didn't you give us eyes like the eyes of a fish? Because eyes of a fish, they have no eyelids. They don't blink their eyes. Their eyes are wide open, otherwise a big fish will eat the little fish if you blink your eyes. To stay on guard. So why didn't you make us like a fish? It's very interesting, since I started talking about blinking your eyes, everyone's blinking their eyes. I'm looking, always the speaker is looking at the audience is looking at the speaker, everyone's going, of course, maybe it's time to sleep also, 4 o'clock. You know, you definitely sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning, and maybe also at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. At least you're supposed to get up. So this is the amazing thing, that shastras are supposed to open our eyes. Om Gyanate Varandasya Gyan. So the guru is a walking shastra. The guru is a talking shastra. Here he comes, walking, talking shastra. He walks his talk and talks his walk, and he's the guru. He's a shastra. So it's a very nice point. We think we're reading this as if someone needs reading glasses and he holds a book out like this to read or something, because his eyes, he can't read like this when he goes like that. He can see it. Some people, what's this say? So when we read these shastras, we think that, oh, it's very far away, this spiritual dimension, this spiritual realm. Narta-nivritti, this, that, I'm so fallen, I'm just like... And we rather like to be fallen. we like to be fallen. It's kind of, and the more we can think ourselves fallen and cover ourselves with all kinds of, you know, bad qualities and bad desires, then we can, that much slower we can progress. We can move on the path of bhakti and take it easy in our world of independence. But if we start to think, actually, I'm almost there. It's actually right in front of me. It's right here. It's just like, you know, oh, there's dark. Oh, it's dark in my room. Oh, where's that light switch? Where's the light switch? Oh, then you. Sometimes you travel. You stay in a hotel or some guest house or somewhere, and you get disoriented, because when you wake up, you should go this way and find the light switch or whatever. And then you go somewhere. Then you have to think, oh, where was it? You know, and you're going like this. Then as soon as you find the light switch and hit it, then boom. Oh, yeah. So we have to find that light switch which opens, you know, takes us out of the darkness. Because the shastras are showing us the way. This is the way. This is you. You're there. You're putting the flower garland on Radha and Krishna. No, me? And then even Goswamis in their writing, they say, although I'm not qualified for this, and I'm wretched, I'm low, and I'm deserving, but still I'm praying to you for this service. Still I want this opportunity. Won't you give it to me? You're Karunamayi. And so, Amirata. So now this is the meditation, that this is the manashiksha that Prabhupada Saraswati is giving us. Meditate, yeah, this is me, and I'm doing this. And I'm feeling ecstatic to do it, just like we feel ecstatic when we do service, when we actually do seva with heart. When we serve with heart, we feel good. Like, for example, say a guru says, oh, I want to do this seva, and I want you to go out and collect some money. So then you go out hard and you collect some money and you bring it to the guru for any particular seva. Or you out liquidate some assets or whatever we're talking. And then as soon as you offer that seva, that say Lakshmi, to the guru in his hand, and even while you're doing that service, you feel so happy. You feel like, oh, this is blissful. Every time you render service, if you're not feeling blissful when you're quote unquote serving guru or Vaishnavas, it means you're not doing seva, you're doing work. Work, one of the qualities of work, karma, is parishram. 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 Parishram means fatigue or labor. Parishram, how do you say? Hard work. You feel like, if you're doing seva and you're not feeling blissful, then it's actually parishram. And what's fatigue? How do you say fatigue?
Takan.
So we just feel, this is so fatiguing. But if one actually does seva, because the heart is made to serve Guru and Vaishnava. That's how it is made. So if you're serving Guru and Vaishnava, which is the objective, which is the object of the movement of the heart, and the object of the movement of the body and senses, this is the object, and bliss is not coming, that means you haven't connected with the Savior Bhagavan. There's a Sevak Bhagavan and a Savior Bhagavan. Sevak Bhagavan is the devotee. He's doing seva. And a Savior is the one who's the recipient of the service. That's Krishna. So when we render service, then we connect with Bhagavan and we feel blissful. The service of the Sevak Bhagavan, the personality of servitorship, the disciple, the devotee of the Lord, when his heart is there, then he's connected with the Savior Bhagavan, because that's where he lives. And he feels ecstatic because Krishna is Ananda Sarupam. His form is made of bliss. And seva is the access to it. Seva gives access to the ocean of bliss. Because seva moves our heart into the heart of Krishna. That's what seva does. Seva moves our heart into the heart of Krishna. And Krishna's heart is Ananda's, he's rasavaisaha, he's full of ras and he's full of bliss. Ananda Sarup and Rasavai, he's made of ras, rasa Sarup. So then we feel blissful. So that's why seva makes us happy, joyful. This is my life. I realize that. I'm speaking. So we can relate. He says, while smearing sandalwood pulp on the and gently massaging her lotus feet, and while dressing them in opulent clothes. So here, Saraswati Pad has mentioned garlands and sandalwood, pushpa, mala seva and chandan seva, and alepana and shringar. Alepana means to apply unguents on the body or to malish. No, it's called abhyanga. Abhyanga means to massage. So they're doing all these different services and they're feeling ecstasy. So we should meditate on Radha's maidservants and all the books they describe what they look like and how we can think of what we may look like or want to look like or aspire to look like. Like some people in the material world, they have some role models. They have what they call role model. Either he's a role model for a quality of, or he's a role model for beauty or opulence. Some quality, someone may be a role model. Say you're a sportsman, and you may be a cricketer, or whatever it's called, And so you may have a role model that represents expertise, represents the quality of expertise in that art of sport of soccer. It may not be have the quality of beauty or good speech or education or even wealth or whatever, but you emulate him, so he's your role model. Or someone, because you're aspiring to be expert in sports, and someone else may be more interested in being handsome or beautiful, so they find some handsome movie star, and then they have his poster on the wall in their house or something. And he's their role model. I would like to look like that, or I'd like to play cricket like that, or whatever. So this is the whole idea of meditating learning about and hearing about the forms and sevas and moods of sevas of Radha, Sakhis, and Manjaris. So we actually cultivate, I want to be like that, like that. And that attraction to want to be like that, that type of ruchi comes from bhakti. One develops that attraction. One does bhakti, bhajan, becomes purified. He starts reading about Krishna. First, it's when you hear about, you come to Krishna consciousness, say from a very basic beginning, oh, there's someone known as God, and there's Krishna. And you're supposed to worship God, and his name is Krishna. That's the kind of the starting base. Then someone says, well, you know, there's Krishna, and he has a girlfriend too. Oh, yeah, that's about right. He closes his curtains because they're coming on Dorothy's eyes. That's not very nice. It's not good for the eyes. Thanks. The glare is intense on the eyes. It's not good. That's better. What was I saying? Yeah, so then we approach God because everyone in the world has some idea that there's someone named God, even Quran and the Muslims and everyone. But then we find out, well, he has somebody else with God. There's Radha. There's Hare Krishna. There's Radha and Krishna. Please, Radha, okay, there's one person named Radha, and we pray to her to engage us in Krishna service. But then we find out, well, wait a minute, they live somewhere in a spiritual world and they have associates. And then the whole thing starts to expand more and more, that not only are your Aradhyadev is God or Krishna, but then your Aradhyadev is his energy or his devotees, Radha. And then, well, there's more devotees. And then you start to read the pastimes and you find these names and devotees that are doing different activities in relation to Krishna and Radha. Krishna's the center and he has a mother and father. And as you read more and more and hear all the whole panorama, the spiritual world starts to manifest in your consciousness, that it's a multi-tiered level. It's like this world. There's so many rasas and relationships and so many interactions and exchanges with different people, and there's social orders there, and there's everything is there in the spiritual world. And then you're going on in Bhakti Vajan, hearing about the totality of all these relationships. And then an attraction awakens in the heart. Some attraction now I have some idea what's going on up there, and reading about this and that, and this relationship of Krishna's mother and his friends and his servants and his lovers and his queens in Dwarka. And it's all very wonderful and attractive and interesting. But these devotees and their relationship and their services with Krishna, they're attracting me too much. I just always want to read about them or think about them. That's a type of ruchi, which indicates the direction that you'll go, indicates your identity, your long-standing, undeveloped attraction for Krishna. Stairati. This is, people may say, there's different ideas. Some acharyas, just like, for example, you talk about the nature of the jiva among Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas who accept God as a person. And there's different viewpoints of the nature of the jiva. he's one with the Lord, or he's different from the Lord. There's all these different viewpoints are there. So the same thing. So, but our line, we're told by Rupa Goswami, Brajalokanusarita, follow one of the residents of Vrindavan. You must follow the Vrijavasis if you want to get to Vrindavan. So these are the teachings that are being given to us by Prabhupada Saraswati. And this verse, and we can read another translation of this also in this book. I have a second translation. Same verse 95. He's saying, oh, here it says, oh, mind, because sadā-rādadāsi smara ridaya sevam vidādati. That's pretty easy. Anyone can figure that out. Always remember that you're a servant of Radha. Sadā-rādadāsi smara ridaya. And in your heart, you're rendering various ridaya sevam vidādati. You're rendering various services to Radharani. So here he's saying, my dear mind, and here he's saying, my dear heart. O heart, please meditate on Radha's maid servants. Their bodies tossed by waves of nectar, and their hairs upright in ecstatic love. They're serving the divine couple with garlands, perfumes, fanning them, betel nuts, and gently massaging their feet. Oh, we eternally serve the affectionate divine couple. Basically the same idea, just a little bit different viewpoints of some of the Maha Prema Vesh Utpulaka Rasa Gornayata Tanu. Gurnayata tunu, their bodies were utpulaka, that's what he says here, so their bodies were tossed by waves of nectar and their hairs were upright in ecstatic love. And that's his sentence here. Utpulaka, that means their hair standing an end. Prema vesh, they had so much deeply entered into the loving service of the Lord. Rasa gurnayata tunu. Tanu means body, their bodies were tossed in this ocean of rasa. Something extraordinary. This is the experience of serving Radha and Krishna on that level. Doing the same things we do here. We offer a tambal, or we fan the Lord, and we grind chandan. And we barely sometimes can stay awake, or, you know, because we're in different states of consciousness when we do puja sometimes, tired or fatigued or whatever. But it's a whole different experience there. So again, we're reminded of the direction, the goal, the direction. We're reminding in these shlokas of the goal, the prayojana, and the means to get there, and how the mind is, of course, the most valuable ally in our progress of spiritual perfection. So the mind must always be spoken to and instructed. It's like a forgetful child. When you're raising a child, you tell him 1,000 times, and finally he gets the idea, I should do like this. 1,000 times you tell the child, you should sit properly, sit straight. Then finally the child says, oh, my mother wants me to sit straight. So this manashiksha, everyone should have their own manashiksha. You see, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he modeled his niyam, what is it called? Swaniyam Dashaka or something. He had these instructions, his own niyam means rules or laws or rules to abide by, sevas, rules, like niyam seva. He read manashiksha, then he customized it to himself, how it would apply to him, because he got the drift. He got the drift from the acharya's example that this is what's done in Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. And as I mentioned earlier, there are many small books called Manashiksha by Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And even Shankaracharya, he wrote a book for sannyasis in the Shankara school to address their mind. And it has 10, I believe it has 10 shlokas or 108 shlokas. It's called Mugdha Katarika or something like that. And it says, basically it translates Mudga Kutarika, or Kutara or something. It translates as the sledgehammer against illusion. Because Mugdha, like Vimugdha, Mugdha means illusion. So there's shlokas in there. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he asked the sannyasis and his followers to memorize these shlokas. And many of the Gaudiya Math sannyasis, at least the Indian ones that I know, where I heard about it, they also memorized many of these shlokas. And oftentimes they all end up with Manasa Chintya Bharam Avaram, just to make it short. That, you know, some of these, Nari Stanava, Manasa Chintya Bharam, it says Manasa Chintya, that you should, Manasa Chintya Bharam Avaram, said again at Bharam Bharam, Bharvar, like you say Bharvar in Hindi means again and again. He says again and again, you should think, Chintya, in your mind about this illusion that's in front of your eyes, whatever that variety of that illusion may be manifesting in the mirage of the material world. Because the material world is a mirage factory, producing various illusions which we chase after one after the other, seeking for rasa and ending up with sand, seeking rasa and tasting sand. Because the mirage is the impression of water in the desert, so the animal runs after the mirage, because water is called rasa. So seeking rasa and ending up with and tasting sand. Rasa is to be tasted. It's chamatkar, it's astonishing, and it's tasty, and it's ever different and attractive. That's rasa. But this material world is a mirage factory, pools of illusion one after another. And a foolish animal like humans, they run after those pools of illusion, seeking rasa and tasting sand. That's kind of a poetic way to explain about the reality of this rather dreary existence called samsara. But cheer up, it's not that bad. There's hope. There's asha, hope. Bhakti means asha. Bhakti is the goddess of hope, devotion. The goddess, Bhakti is a goddess, the Devi, and she has some maidservants with her. And one of them is hope, Asha Devi. There's actually a Devi in charge of hope, Asha Devi. Laja Devi, Asha Devi. Asha means hope, aspiration, hope. Prabhupada uses this phrase, hope against hope. It seems like it's impossible to attain the perfection which we're striving for. It's impossible to realize the perfection which we're describing. In eternal prem seva, Radharani and the Kunjas of Vrindavan, it seems unreachable, unattainable, and impossible. Gatana agatana patiyasi shakti. So Krishna knows, oh, something impossible? I have something for you. You go to the doctor's office and say, oh, I have this problem. Oh, I have something for you. I'll give you this medicine. So we approach Bhagavan and we say, Bhagavan, I have a problem. What is that? It's called the impossibility problem. The impossibility problem. I'm feeling that the prospects that you're presenting are impossible to attain. So therefore, do you have some cure for that? Yes, look, I have this right here in my store. You take one bottle. See this bottle? Gatana agatana patiyasi shakti. This is a shakti, this is a power which makes the possible impossible and the impossible possible. Don't just take a dose. Like you're thinking, how will I ever get free from family life? It's impossible. It's impossible to get free from family life. Because I look everywhere around me, and everyone is stuck until the 99th year in family life. And they're always saying, yes, yes. Even they're Vaishnavas and they're following a strict path of sadhana. Yes, yes, I should renounce all this, and I'm working on it, and I'm just about to do it. And they're 60 and 70 and 80 and 90, and it's impossible. This is the aghara, mituni aghara, the shackles of man-woman combination. It's intense. It's like a heavy ball and chain, impossible to sever or break. But that's the one. So when you drink that medicine, the impossible becomes, you know, what's impossible becomes possible. You get free from bondage. And then that impossible attainment becomes possible. Not only becomes possible, it becomes plausible. Not only becomes plausible, but it becomes placeable. It becomes placed in your consciousness when you actually see, I'm there. I'm there. I'm sitting here, but I'm there. And this is what Lila Smaran is about. This is what Smaran is about. I'm sitting here, my body's here, but I'm there. You ever dream at night? Your body's in the bed, but you're there. Where? Only you know. You know better than I do. But when we sit for meditation, the body is there, body's here, but somebody else is there. That somebody else is there, and meditation is us. That's really us. Like sometimes yogis, they astral travel, and they leave, they're sitting in meditation in some cave, and they leave there's a subtle thread. The yogis talk about the subtle cord that connects the Atma to this body. It's a psychic cord. There's even a name for it also. They call it a cord, you know, like a rope, like on a surfboard, you have this stretchy thing and it around your ankle and it falls off. So they can go so far. So they go so far, they can travel to Swarga. Pantastukoti, there's that verse in Brahma Samhita, Pantastukoti Manipungavanam. It says one can travel, Pantastukoti Manipungavanam. It says one can travel, maybe you can look it up. One can travel on the speed of the mind for millions of years and not reach the end. P-A-N-T-S. So this, they travel very far in the psychic, by their psychic powers of meditation. And then sometimes they go somewhere where they like. They actually like where they are. And they stay there. They don't come back. And then the body just sits there in a cave and then eventually, you know, disintegrates and goes to ashes and dust. Not to ashes, to dust. And then when they go to that new plane, because they traveled on their subtle body and they found some subtle atmosphere that was very attractive. All these higher planets are in the realm of mind. Because they're traveling the speed of minds. So this is a water planet. This is a water and earth planet. And our bodies are water and earth. There's 75% water and 25% earth. But then there's the mental body. So there's domains and realms and planets where there's no, you know, they look in the telescope, oh, there's no water there, you can't support life. They say, oh, there's no water there. That's a gaseous atmosphere. But life has nothing to do with water. It has nothing to do with earth. It's Atma, Jivatma is alive. Sarvagata, what does it say? Sarvagata stana, you know, there's a Gita verse. Sarvagata stana. The living entities are all over the universe. So this verse about the yogis and traveling on their subtle cord is in Brahma Samhita 534. Pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayoratapi manaso muni pungavanam. Manaso muni pungavanam. So yasti yat praparasim yami chintya tatwe govindamari purusham tamaham vajami. Pant, you know, we say Bhagavat Pant, the Pant. Pant means the path. Panta koti shata, thousands of millions of years extending sampragamya, extending over thousands of millions of years on the path. Wind, traveling on the winds of the mind, the vayu manasa, traveling on the winds of the mind, the muni pungavanam, the foremost, punga means like tunga, a tunga vidya means tunga and punga are very similar. We say krita punya punja. This guy means very concentrated, intense, and best of. So the foremost, the punga, pungavanam, muni pungavanam, the foremost gyanis and munis, prapada simni, after all of that traveling, they like we have this what is this hair part called? Simanto? So it says simni. Simni means they go to the tip, avichintya tatwe, beyond the material conception. So they go beyond the material conception, but they just get to the tip of the spiritual reality in the translation. I worship Govinda, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Only the tip of the toe of Govinda's lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after transcendence. And to get there, they take up the process of pranayama. Or by the jnanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane extending over thousands of millions of years. So that Prabhupada Trent, when he speaks in this verse, he says even the munis traveling for millions of years, bantastukoti, he usually translates it in relation to the yogis. Because his kota shati means millions, so he, millions vatsara, vatsara means years, millions and millions of years of extending over, traveling over the wind, like the wind. They can't reach the conclusion, but by bhakti you can. So anyway, this is just a point about yogis, they travel so far. We can leave this body, sit this body in one place and go to the spiritual world by the strength of our meditation. We realize the spiritual world to different degrees according to the intensity and depth of our meditation, which is backed, again, the strength and depth of our meditation and our penetration. The strength and depth of our meditation on transcendence and the degree to which we can penetrate and enter the transcendental realm depends not only on practice of smaran and meditation, but it depends on the purity and of bhakti, of devotion, more than anything. And of course, bhakti is the essential element, and jnana and vairagya are simply her shadows. But the actual essential substance is loving devotion, pleasing the Lord. And that itself, if one is absorbed in loving devotion and pleasing the Lord, that is an expression of the greatest knowledge and greatest vairagya. So bhakti is the essence. Bhakti, the whole idea is all the vairagya, all the detachment and knowledge is meant to bring us to the point where we serve Krishna with full love and devotion without cessation, moment to moment. The pursuit is not detachment or knowledge. That's why he says in the first canto of Bhagavatam, if one does bhakti, then he gets these other things automatically. But in order to do bhakti, we have to have some knowledge of bhakti tattva. That's why there's jiva tattva, nam tattva. This is all part of bhakti tattva. Who is guru? Who is Bhagavan? Bhagavat tattva, guru tattva, Vaishnav tattva, all these truths, and we synthesize them all. But for one, that's why Prabhupada once said bhakti is easy for the simple-hearted. But most of us in Kali Yuga, we're not simple-hearted. If we were simple-hearted, we wouldn't be born in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is the age of complexity. Look inside a computer. This is the age of complexity. So our dealings are complex, our thinking is complex, the simple, straight, narrow, clear path of loving devotion is so difficult to perceive and so difficult to understand in this Kali Yuga. Forgetfulness is everywhere. So this is night. Let's discuss another verse now. 1695, this is 17 Sataka 102, it's right at the end, I think. These are different discussions about the mandris, all this last, so many classes and maybe a few more going on. Then we start the next section. This is text 102. It's another very prominent theme, this theme of hankering. As everyone knows, that we know about hankering, because that's what desire means. Desire means you desire. What does if you ask yourself, what does desire mean? It means desire. What is desire? It means a want. Is it right? A want, a need, a want, and then we define the want, and that's something we want, and then to that mood, that feeling or that bhav, which drives us towards attaining that need or want or object or person, is called hankering. Hankering, yearning. Sometimes we want something that's practically unattainable, realistically. So we just, we dream about it. Well, it'd be nice someday. Like when we're young, I remember when we were young boys and my friends, we'd say, if you had $100 million, what would you do? And we would sit down, because we're like that kind of people, kind of business-minded type. I suppose if I was raised in a Brahmin family, the boys would ask each other, well, if you knew Sanskrit right now, what would you do? Like five-year-old boy, or would you start giving saptahas? if you knew ragas, what would you do? I don't know what their line of question, but since we were from more of a Vaishya Kshatriya background, this was what the boys would say. So that means, but the idea is that we have these wants and desires, and then we hanker. We either dream about them if they're unattainable, but if they're somewhat within our reach, then we hanker. Oh. So this concept, this principle of emotions and feelings is very much part of spiritual life also. Hankering, yearning, desiring, lalasa. You heard this term, lalasa. What does lalasa mean in Hindi? Lalasa. Or I heard it means something like hankering. Or there's nothing like that? Lalasa? Lalasa or lalasa? Lalasa. What does it mean? Strong desire. So that means intense hankering. Craving, okay? We're getting into syntax here. What? Yeah, that's a nice way to describe tivra itcha, like a light, like a laser beam. Desire that's so intense, it's like it's as unbreakable as a laser beam. Try to break a laser beam and make it bend its rays. So you can't bend someone who's possessed by that kind of tivra itcha. He will not be able to be deterred or bent in any different any way, and that desire will burn right through his heart like a. A laser ray will burn through steel. They have laser, saws and all kinds of things. At any rate, yearning. So in spiritual life, there's so many bhajans by the acharyas where they say either one of two words, kada or kave. Kada or kave. It means when. When will this happen? When? Rupa Goswami is praying, when? Vishnu Chakravarti is praying, when? Narottam Das Thakur is praying, when? Prabhupada Saraswati is praying, when? Everyone's praying, when? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying, when? And we're praying, when also? But we usually say, when is prasadam? When are you coming? When am I getting some this, that? But they're hankering. It's a bhav, it's a feeling. It generates urgency. Hankering generates urgency, and it generates a type of kinetic energy which propels us forward on the path of surrender. Siddhi lalasa, desiring for some higher perfection. So it's relative to the position we're in. If you ask the baby sitting on his backside, say, what perfection would you like right now? I'd like to be able to walk. And stop falling on my back, my bottom. So his desirable perfection is relative to the position you're in. So when you can't control your tongue, for example, then you say, "Oh Krishna, when will I be able to control my tongue?" So you pray for that, or any particular sense, you know, the working senses or the knowledge acquiring senses which are pushing us in their various bully type ways. They're bullying us around. The working senses, the hands are working senses, and they're pushing us to touch wrong things or unmentionable things, and the stomach is, I like this, you know all these things already. So now, they have, like this is this prayer, 102, Brindaranya kimapi janata, dushpravesham pradesham, Brindaranya kimapi janata, dushpravesham pradesham, gatva procher nija, dvaitayor nama japanu dashru, atyanta artya vikala vikal vikalo, divya murtya kapyapi. Shri Ashvaryagya Karamriga Drisha Vak Sudashva Sitasyam. Sudashva Sitasham. So this is his hankering here. He's also saying when here. When, although I don't, oh, it's Kim. Kim also, in Sanskrit, Kim is also translated as K-I-M, with a dot over it, doesn't have it here, but a dot over M, is also translated as when, or otherwise it's Kada, or Kabe. Bengali is Kabe. You've heard that song, Kabe Have Bolo Se Namar, Aparada Gucci, Shuddha Namaruchi. When will that day come? When will I enter into a solitary place of Vrindavan and loudly chant the names of Radha and Krishna? When will I remember the divine couple who are my life and soul and float in tears of love by chanting their nectarine holy names? Well, that is the hankering of Saraswati Pad. It should shape the quality or type of hankering that we ourselves as sadhakas have. Just think, this is the three most powerful essential practices of bhakti sadhana are mentioned here. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. This is the essence of devotion in practice. And you can say this is the essence of devotion and perfection because the means and the goal are the same. The practice of bhakti and the perfectional expression of bhakti is just a matter of the deepening of the bhava. Otherwise, all the activities are the same. And the gopis are hearing about Krishna and chanting about Krishna and deeply remembering Krishna, kanda smaran, without any break, with full love, mahabhav. Mahabhav, hearing Mahabhav, chanting Mahabhav, remembering. This is the gopis. That's the love-enriched sadhana. It's not sadhana for them, it's their love's expression. It's their love's expression. It's hearing about their beloved, chanting about their beloved. And they are the perfect examples of the Bhagavad Gita. That's why when some rasik janas speak on Bhagavad Gita, they say this verse 10.9 in Gita, nutshell verse, Chatushloki. This best describes the sakis of Radharani and Krishna. Matchita matkata pranas, bodhyantas parasparam katayantas chamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Because ramanti means raman. Raman means Madhurya Vilas, Shringar Ras, divine conjugal amorous union, Ramanti. And the ultimate end of Raman, Ramanti, Raman Anti, the ultimate end of bliss and satisfaction, the buck stops there. That's the highest expression of divine beatitude and beauty and sweetness. And the gopis Machita, Matkata, Pranas, they are pran sakis, they're very pran, their life and soul and everything is Radha and Krishna. And their chitta, their consciousness, chitta means heart and consciousness. Machita, Matkata, Pranas, their pran and their heart and chitta has gata, is gone deep into the heart of, and heart of Radha and Krishna. Machita, Matkata, Matgata, Gata, to go into the heart of Krishna. Matchita matkata pranam bodhayantas pranam bodhayantak. They are the highest, most greatest intelligent personalities in the entire universe. Bodhayantak. Bodhi anta. The limit of intelligence, the limit of conscious thinking and understanding is found in the Brajagopis. So much so that such a brilliant person, the most brilliantly erudite, educated person in the universe, Uddhav, is praying to these gopis, or so-called, quote-unquote, illiterate village girls who can't read Sanskrit, they don't know Harinam Vyakaran, or let's say Vyakaran, but they know music expertly, and they know dancing expertly, and they know how to serve Krishna expertly. And that's the perfection of intelligence, to know how to sing, dance, to sing, dance, and please Krishna. This is the greatest expression of intelligence. Bodhyantas parasparam, katayantas chamam nityam. Who is moment to moment absorbed in Hari Katha? The gopis. Tushyanti. And by speaking about Krishna and Radha and their absence, then they feel a relief. They feel relief from the burning pain of separation. That's the tushyanti, that toshan. A toshan represents that pacification, that solace, when they're burning and fire separation from Krishna. It's called rasudgar. Rasudgar. Rasudgar means when a sakhi, shamala sakhi, or chandankala sakhi will come to Yavat Gram, in the afternoon after Radharani's left Krishna and Suryakund, and she's gone home and she's burning and scorching in the fire separation from Shyam, and the gopis don't know, they're besides themselves, they don't know what to do, they're exasperated, they're at their wits' end, they've tried everything to comfort their Swamini, their Ishwari, and they tried all possible means of cooling the body. We're medical people here, and so if someone has some fire, so you lay them on ice packs and all different ways to try to cool their bodies down. Camphor or sandalwood, so many things they tried, the natural cooling things of this world, even exotic applications, like lie them on flower beds and fresh stemless beds, flower beds of stemless roses, just thousands of roses or lotus petals, and fanning them with banana leaves dipped in chilled water that was kept on the rooftop under the full moon, in clay pots made with black clay, because black clay is cooler than red clay. So kalamiti mudkas full of the deepest, coldest water from the deepest part of the earth, and it's put on the moon, and the moonshine is there, and they sprinkle camphor in it. It's camphorated water. Sometimes it's used for drinking in the summer also. But in this case, they use that camphorated water from that super tundi black clay pot, and they dip in the banana leaf, and the water's still there, and they're fanning Radharani. Such cool breeze, it's like better than AC. It's like five air conditioners. And still the beads of perspiration are forming under Radharani, collecting under Radharani's eyelids, and beads on her forehead. And she's breathing deep, I'm panting, oh, Krishna. They don't know what to do, they're fanning her. They give her cooling drinks, they give her all kinds of rusasava or whatever they call it. Ruasava or whatever it is, you know. Some tundai, you call it tundai? Some tundais, they cool her down. And that's still no success. They do, they give cooling drinks. And then they massage her feet with ice cubes or whatever. And no success. And then Chandankala. Her name is Chandankala, very interesting. Her name is Chandan Akala Sakhi. She comes, And Lalita says, oh, Chandan Kala has come. She just come from Krishna. She has some wonderful news. It's going to come out of her mouth like nectar to soothe your aching soul, Radharani. So then Chandan Kala starts speaking to describe the pastimes that she just witnessed directly with Krishna, seeing him with the coward boys. So she starts pouring the nectar of this Harikatha into the burning heart of Radharani. And she starts cooling down, and her breathing starts to slow down. The perspiration dries up on her forehead and cheeks, and her heartbeat slows down. And her fingers were like clenched. She was so much anxiety, and her fingers started to relax as she was lying in the flower bed and listening. And gradually, from this anguished look on her face of anxiousness and sadness, her face started to relax and looked like a little baby when he's sleeping. Little baby's face when he's sleeping, very cherubic and peaceful and glowing with satisfaction. And babies, after they take the milk from the mother's breast and they go to sleep, they're actually glowing with satisfaction. Their radiance indicates their fulfillment in the ras, because they're drinking this ras from their mother, this sthana amrit. And it's actually, they're drinking ras, but they're drinking love. And love makes their forms radiate. So babies, you can see, after they milk, they take the mother's milk, their faces are very radiant when they're sleeping. You ever saw? So Radharani is starting to look like so much beautiful just by hearing about the Harikatha. So that's why the gopis, they're the perfect exemplars of this verse. Machita matkata prana bodhiyantas parasram katayantas chamam nityam. Nityam! Also, so many sadhus get together and they have some Harikatha, then they go home and this, that. But nityam, moment to moment, Harikatha, enriching each other's consciousness, drenching each other's consciousness with Krishna's descriptions of Krishna's form and qualities and pastimes. Tushyanti cha, ramanti cha. It says, machita matkata pranas, bodhiyantas pranas, katayantas tamam nityam, nityam, kata nityam, and nityam tushyanti nityam ramanti. It's explained that Radharani is having eternal union with Krishna, moment-to-moment union with Krishna, and she's having moment-to-moment tushyanti, experiencing the greatest satisfaction every moment. So that's nityam. The aspects of separation is just another form of union. Separation in the divine realm is not the separation that we know, that viyog, that viraha, that painful, burning sadness being separated from one's beloved. But there it's just another aspect of the sambhog is a viraha. It just increases the enjoyment. It changes the flavor and direction of their enjoyment and union, viraha. But it's still, there's no question of Radha and Krishna ever being separated. It's impossible. That's why it says that because their combination of Radha and Krishna is a combination of love. It's a perfection of love. So love moves like a river, moves like a snake. So and the snake goes here and it goes there. So the oneness of Radha and Krishna's praying, the Sringara Ras, it's moving like a river, sometimes on this bank and sometimes on that bank. It's the same river. It's the same water. When it touches one bank, it's called Sambhog. When it touches another bank, it's called Viraha. You know, that book is the title, Embankment of Separation. But it's the embankment of union also. It's Sambhog, because the river of their prem ras and prem exchanges is continuous. There's never any break in the river of prem between Radha and Krishna. There's no dams there. You're talking about the damming of the river. It flows on and on and on. Does the water change its nature when it's on the left bank? Is it different water than the right bank? Maybe. The answer could be yes. Because maybe the right bank, the left bank is, that left bank may be some salty earth there. So when the water rubs against that salty earth, it picks up a little salty taste. But then when the water goes to the other side, maybe maybe like sweet clay. You ever heard of Brahmandagat? If you take the clay there, it tastes salty. The earth is salty. So if the water runs by that, it'll be salty. Just like, you know, the rainwater, when the rainwater comes from the sky, is it salty? But how come when you make a boring in Vrindavan and take out the water, how does it get salty? Because the water passes through the salty earth and picks up a salty taste. So if the earth is sweet, sweet earth, then when the water passes through the sweet earth, then it maintains its natural taste of the rainwater and it picks up the sweetness of the earth. That's why we say, well, this is tasty. So that same river of prema sometimes has a salty flavor or a sweet flavor, but it just enhances the variegated nature of the river of love. So this is let's see what's going on here. He's saying when, and I'm saying, yeah, I'm saying the same thing. Yeah, when? Saraswati Pada said, when will I go to a solitary place in Vrindavan? So that means for hearing and chanting about Krishna, at least in this particular time, because it's more of a meditative hearing and chanting, it should be a secluded area. There's also Sankirtan, many people dancing, that's another thing. So when will I enter a solitary place of Vrindavan and loudly chant the names of Radha and Krishna? So I'm hearing and chanting. Then when will I remember the divine couple who are my life and soul? And as I remember them and chant in a lonely place, I will float in tears of love by chanting their nectarine holy names. So there's a lot of whens here. When will I float in tears of love by chanting their names? I float in the sheets of sleep. Sit in my bed and chant and fall down under the sheets of sleep. I float in the waves, float in the tears of love. That's a lot of tears to float a man. It takes a lot. As a result of not seeing them, I will be overwhelmed with distress and give up eating and sleeping. In other words, if one is so much burning with a desire to see Radha and Krishna, then how can he waste time eating and sleeping? Because when he's eating and sleeping, that may be the time when they want to give their darshan or reveal themselves. So therefore, nidrahara vihara kali vijato, he reduces his eating and sleeping to the minimum. On seeing my pathetic condition, the kind-hearted Srimati Radhika will give me assurance through one of her maidservants. Seeing my pathetic condition, the kind-hearted Radhika will give me assurance through one of her maidservants. Thereafter, that doe-eyed enchanting Sakhi will come before me and solace me by saying, your desire will be fulfilled. So this can be taken on, of course, many levels, obviously, but some elementary levels. It can be that this is a prayer for someone who is in spurti, he's actually at the level of bhav or prema, and in his prema, or you say bhav, drishti, his meditation, he's seen it, he's entered into the lila pravesh. And he's sitting there, he's in the Vrindavan, Radha and Krishna are there, and he, or let's say she and her Siddhadeya as a mandri, are just loudly engaged in Sankirtan, loudly chanting, in Kirtan, let's say, loudly engaged in Kirtan, chanting the names of his beloved, Radha and Krishna. And feeling, oh, where are they? And Bhaktivinoda Thakura prays like this in Gita Mala, Siddhi Lalasa, very much exactly like this. And then the guru sakhi of that or that person who's chanting, that gopi is chanting, that will come and say, you're crying so much for Radha and Krishna. Come. Your desire to serve them. You're thinking about serving them and meditating and crying. Come, you'll get to serve them. This very same thing is explained in Gita Mala by Bhaktivinoda Thakura. He says, when will I take birth in the land of Vrindavan? And I'll sit in my seva kunj, in my lonely place, in my nibritini kunj, and I'll collect water every day with a water pot on my head, and like a mad woman, Pagalini, like a mad woman, I'll chant the glories of Radha and Krishna, and then I'll sit in my seva kunj, remembering them and thinking of their service, but yet he has not rendered any service. And then one day I'll see coming along the footpath, Vilas Manjari, who is my Param Guru Sakhi, and my Guru Sakhi, Bhaktivinoda Thakura is praying, and with Rupa Mantri, they'll come along and say, what are you doing sitting alone in this kunja? And you're crying out Radha Krishna's name. What are you doing? And you're hankering for service. Come with us. Come now. Now is your opportunity. We made arrangement. Now your desire will be fulfilled. So that's explained in Gita Mala. It's not that you just take birth in a Boma Vrindavan and say, okay, here I am. Where's the chamara? my guru gave me the service of chamara. I'm supposed to fan the Lord every night in the Rasa dance or whatever. Like some people in Laraliji Mandir, they have the service late at night. They pull on this rope, I think, to fan the deities, like old style. And then they recount so many experiences they have, and great siddhas from the past have done the same thing. And sometimes they seek Ishwari and hear ankle bells and many things they tell. And that's the magic and mysteries of the Dham. The Dham is the one and only place in this universe where you see the Gatana, Agatana, Patiyasi Shakti at work is Sri Dham Vrindavan, or Sri Dham Mayapur, the holy Dham. Because Krishna uses his potency with his devotees. His potency is for his devotees. Otherwise, it's that Maya Shakti is doing everything. And then this potency is so much surcharged and powerful and possible in Vrindavan. That's why you hear fantastic stories of saints from the holy Dham. I don't hear so many stories about saints from Delhi. I'm sure there are a few. Must be some compilations. But whenever they write a whole book with 250 biographies, it's two or three volumes called Braj Bhakti, Braj Ke Bhakta, Obiel Kapoor, and it's in Hindi. And I think it's two volumes. It's like 28 editions or something. It's bestseller over Rajasthan, Bihar, UP. Very simple writing, but very good philosophy and tattva. He's Gaudiya Vaishnava. He took Babaji, but previously was initiated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Obiel Kapoor, he's not here now. He's Golok Prapti. But he describes all about the devotees, and hundreds of devotees, and they're all in Vrindavan, because it's Braj Ke Bhakta. But about, you read, right, you saw?
It's the saints of Braj.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a portion of it. There's only 30, 40 saints there. But since you know Hindi, you could get that book. It's available down Vrindavan. By Bhagya Bihari, Kande Lal bookstore. Kande Lal is a big Hindi bookstore. Hindi spiritual books. And there's Bhaktamal, also Bhaktamal. I don't know if that. Yeah, that's in Hindi?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Was it originally written in Sanskrit? Or?
Hindi was by Nabhaji.
Yeah, I know who it's written by, Nabhaji. Yeah, there's Vaishnava Abhidhan also. Bhaktamal is famous in Braj Mandal, especially because it's Hindi. What's the biography of Nabhaji exactly?
He's the incarnation of Brahma.
Oh, that's why he's called Nabha. It's Brahma. Brahma, that's easy to remember. Brahma is Padmanabha. He was born from the lotus from the navel of Vishnu. So he's Nabha. He's Nabhaji. He's a belly button Baba.
Same era as Tulsidasji.
Yeah, that's a whole era is like that. 500 years ago was the time of Tukaram and all these great saints, Swami Haridas. There was a whole army of saintly people then, 400 or 500 years ago. Six Goswamis, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, God himself, Navadas, Tukaram, Swami Haridas, Tanzan. That's all 400, 500 years ago. So when is that new age going to come again? Golden age. So let's read the translation. Do we read this one? The translation of this? Not in this one? Oh, this is 17.102, you know. It's amazing how these get sometimes quite different translations because the translator's different idea of the meaning of the words. When entering a part of Vrindavan where no one else may enter, loudly calling out the names of the two who are very dear to me. Well, that's why it says Dwait. Nija, Dwait, or Dwaitayur, Nama, Japano, Dashru, Nam Japa, or Japa, says Japa, calling Japa. Excuse me. I'll loudly call out the names of the two who are very dear to me, weeping and very agitated. When will I meet one of my queen's splendid and doe-eyed maidservants who will console me with nectar words? Basically, this one's better, but it's the same idea. So now I said this verse can be seen on two levels, many levels, but one level I mentioned, that one is actually at level above, and he's actually in the Leela, and all these experiences of a Sakhi coming and solacing him are seen in his Bhav Drishti, his meditation, his Leela Pravesh. And then he may wake up and come out of that vision, lose that vision, and lament and all these things. Like Vilap Kusumanjali or Utkalika Valri by Rupa Goswami, etc. So the other way to see it is that the sadhaka is living in this Vrindavan, this Prakat Vrindavan, right here, right now. And he's in sadhaka rup, and he's not on the level of bhava, but he is in a solitary place. And he's, as it says here, he's remembering the Lord. Of course, he may not be floating in tears of love, because that would mean he's in bhav or prem. But he may be intensely chanting and maybe in the level of a sakti or very much attached to the Lord and also feeling distressed. And he may also give up eating and sleeping. And seeing how much hankering, how much yearning that sadhaka has, his guru may come. That sadhaka's guru may come to relieve him. And the doe-eyed enchanting sakhi, the guru himself, he may come and say, and solace me by saying, oh, I see you're so serious about your sadhana. You're feeling so much urgency in your human life, and you want to spend every moment hearing and chanting and remembering the Lord, and you're crying out to the Lord, and you're hardly sleeping or eating, and you're desiring for this perfectional stage of some special service to Radha and Krishna. Oh, don't worry, very soon your desire will be fulfilled. So the guru will come, the guru himself, he speaks comforting words to remove the distress and anxiety of the practicing sadhaka. And when we read this verse, we think of, it reminds us that if we can think of some example from our environment here in Radhakund, we think of one of our contemporaries, at least who was at least visibly, I mean, maybe so many people all around Vrindavan that are sitting in lonely kutirs and crying out loudly the Lord's name and hankering for that perfectional stage. But there is one Baba, we know that Baba from the Manipuri, you know, the Manipuri Baba. He used to sit on the banks of Radhakund and loudly cry out for the mercy of Rupa Goswami and Radha and Krishna. And he was not eating much and not sleeping much. He was always, practically all the time, on the banks of Radhakund. You remember? You saw? With the glasses, a Manipuri person. So now he's a little bit more hiding out, even more. But so this, there it was, and we can imagine that, and that with that, that genuine hankering and so much distressed condition causing him. In other words, it's kind of like do or die situation. If someone becomes so much, if someone is a sadhaka is very determined and very sincere, then automatically he'll feel the urgency to attain perfection now. What happens is Maya is a very tricky magician, or let's say tricky hypnotist. So she tries to hypnotize sadhakas and say, take it slow, it's okay, you're young, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, and just do your best, and what can you do? You're not a pure devotee, and maybe a few lifetimes from now you can get serious. But actually, most sadhaka, most gurus, if you meet them, at least a few I met, they said, we shouldn't think about another birth. Perfection is here. Perfection is right here in this life. We have to have that drita brata, that firm sankalp. It must be a sankalp. A sankalp means an avocation, what you vow to do, and then it should be backed by drita brata. Intense, or tivra, drita vrata, intense determination Dirga means big, intense, Dirga, intense, unbreakable determination, brat, to fulfill your sankalpa in this very life. Yes, I must see Radha and Krishna. I must attain their eternal service. I must realize my siddhadaya. I must attain Krishna prem. It's not like, oh, now we just keep looking at this color chart on the wall, like I have these color charts, infrared and then purple, and then it goes red, and then yellow, and then it goes to ultraviolet to infrared, you know, the color, rainbow. And we look, oh, that's that color, and that's that color. Here's the chart. Oh, here I am in Anartanivrti. And here I am in Anartanivrti forever. And I never come to Nishtha. I can't move to the color band of Nishtha. I can't move to the color band of Ruchi or Asakti. And it's too far, and it's too far. And as I mentioned once in a sweet note, I said, in Kali Yuga, people quit before they try. People are so lazy in Kali Yuga, they quit before they even try. They look at the task in front of them. Oh, that's very big. Okay, I quit. Oh, we have to climb this mountaintop. Oh, no thanks, I quit. Well, at least try. Maybe, you know, by God's grace and, you know, anything, a miracle can happen. I quit. Don't even take one step up the mountain. This is the speciality of Kali Yuga. We quit before we try. Like, we had an expression when I grew up, I don't think they have that expression anymore, but they used to say, well, give it the college try. I don't know why they said that, but what, something in college, maybe you try harder or something. But they said, okay, come on, let's do this. No, I can't. No, come on, give it the college try. In other words, somehow, people in universities and colleges, and college means university, school, they're always trying to pass their exams this way or that way or any which way. So this way or that way, we should try to make progress in spiritual life and set that, make that sankalpa. That's the sankalpa. Hey, forget about it. Mind, what are you trying to tell me? The mind's trying to create complacency and laziness and lack of determination. And excuses not to surrender. Oh, you know, it's so difficult, you know, and surrender. And, oh, it's too hard. The mind is like this. And it's not only some housewife, the mind might say like that. Even any sannyasi or baba, you know, you think all the babas on the banks of Radhakund are totally fixed in their bhajan? It's not an easy life. So everyone has to renew their subscription to the Drita Bratta magazine. You have to renew your subscription to your sankalpa. You have to keep on paying the dues so you can continue to be determined year after year, day after day. Like, they have this phrase, and people like this phrase. They say, slow and steady wins the race. But don't be so slow that you're not moving. I want to add something to that. Hey, come on, Maharaj, come on, be patient. You know, Rupa Goswami says patience is one of the qualities of six qualities positive for bhakti is patience. So I'm taking it easy, man. I'm patient. Slow and steady wins the race. I say, okay, fine, slow and steady wins the race, but at least, you know, keep up with the pace. You know, keep walking pace by pace. Yeah, that's what I like to say. Slow and steady wins a race, but at least keep walking pace by pace. Hey, slow and steady. You're too slow, and you're not that steady. You're too slow, and you're not very steady, so you're not even slow and steady. I mean, that's not a joke, because slow and steady means nishtha. Nishtha means you're steadily, maybe you're steady and maybe slow or fast. And if you're fastly steady, then you'll be soon tasting nice steadiness, and that's ruchi. And then your steadiness will become part of you. Your steadiness, you'll be so attached to the object of your steadiness, you'll be a sakti. You're steady to serve Krishna, and he becomes steadily fixed in your mind, so much so that you become attached to him, and he becomes attached to you. And then he says, when you have a sakti, I can't leave you. But he says, yamam pashiti sarvatra, sarvam pashiti sarvatra. So when we have a sakti and bhakti, then we're attached to Krishna, he's attached to us. He can never leave us. We see him everywhere and he sees us everywhere. So I think we'll close there today on this Vrindavan Mahimamrita. Prabhananda Saraswati ki jai. Vrindavan Mahimamrita. Vrindavan is a place full of glorious nectarine glories. Vrindavan Mahim, the great Maha. Mahim Amrita, the great glories, the nectarine glories of Vrindavan. Can I never cease to hear about it? We're all Brijvasis. Everyone in this room is a Brijvasi. Quite unusual gathering. It's very rare to give a class where everyone you're speaking to is a Brijvasi. But in when you give class in Radhakund, when the Bhavas give class, everyone there sitting in front of is a Brijvasi. Brijvasi is one who has dedicated his life to Radha and Krishna and trying to serve them from moment to moment in the holy land of Braj. Brijvasi is someone whose consciousness is Goloka Eva Nivasatya Kilatma Bhuta. Ananda Chinmayarasa Pradibhavitabhis. Kabiri Eva Nijrupataya Kalabi, Goloka Eva Nivisat. He's a Goloka Nivasi. A Goloka Nivasi is someone who is trying to give bliss to the heart of Krishna. Ananda Chinmay Rasa Pradibhavi Tabis. He's an expansion. We're expansion of Krishna. Nijrupataya Kala. We're expansion of Krishna. So some sadhaka who's trying to give bliss to Radha and Krishna, then he's a Brijvasi because his consciousness is living in that conception. His consciousness is living in a conception of giving happiness and bliss to Radha and Krishna moment to moment. So when his consciousness is living in that conception, that means Vas, the resonance, the place. Where is your consciousness? Where is your consciousness? That's a good question. Is it in Maya or in Krishna? So when the consciousness is living in the conception and the senses and mind are acting according to that conception by rendering pleasing service to Krishna moment by moment, then you've left everything. Eka sharanam braja, mam ekam sharanam braja. You've left everything. Sarva dharman prityaja, you left everything. Everything else has left your consciousness. Dharma means form. The word dharma means form. It means essence or a form. So the form and essence of everything else has left your consciousness. Sarva dharma prityaja, tyag. When that conception settles in the consciousness, then the form, any other forms or essence, dharma means the essence or form of something, like vastu. All that is left, it's renounced, and then what's left is shelter of Krishna. Mam ekam sharanam braja. Your consciousness goes to Braj, then you become Brajvasi. So this is the kind of Brajvasi we should be. Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam. Yeah.
Till this mind does not become a friend, this shiksha to the mind is it just increasing a determination to control the mind or ignore the mind, or is it this shiksha is really purifying the mind?
Well, any spiritual contact the mind has will purify the mind. If you read verses from the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks a lot about the mind. Those verses are Shabda Brahman, that sound vibration. Chanchalahi Mana Krishna. So this Gita is Shabda Brahman. So if you just read verses about the mind and controlling the mind, the nature of the mind, those verses are transcendental vibration. The reading of those verses will purify the mind. And then you follow these Manashiksha, because they give Manashiksha, the instructions, the Upadesh of the sadhus are Shabda Brahman. So you read Manashiksha or Das Goswami, all different instructions of what we should think in our minds or what we should hanker for in the minds. So hearing those instructions, just chanting the shlokas is purifying the mind. And then following the guidelines and suggestions that he's giving to direct the movements of the mind. The mind is full of vritti, manovritti. Vritti means movements. So the manashiksha is a navigational, let's say, it's a directional map for the mind. So we, like he says, oh mind, think of this. So that's, that itself is a purification of the mind and changing the whole content of the thinking, changing the whole content of the thinking, feeling and desiring of the mind, the willing. Because the mind thinks about and feels and develops bhavas. There's chinta, bhava, and then karya. Chinta means thinking or manana, contemplation. And then there's bhav. There's mixing up your feelings and emotions and those thoughts. And then the thoughts and emotions together express themselves in the plane of action, sense action. That's called karya or karma, movement. It's all movement. It's all movement. It begins with a vacillating mind. A vacillating mind is the beginning of all movement. So when the mind is moving, not moving with Krishna, in tune with Krishna, then it's called manovritti, maya manovritti, mayamana. I have this term, mayamana. Mayamana vritti. When the mind, the waves of the mind, the thought waves, the vrittis are moving in illusion, and then it starts moving everything else. Your thinking is moving in illusion, then your feelings start moving in illusion, then your actions start moving in illusion, then you're bound. So now the acharyas, their teachings are teaching, make your mind move in this way. Start thinking about these things. And now when you start thinking about these instructions, manashiksha and all these spiritual descriptions of the mind, and your mind should think like this, and desire like this, and hanker like this, you're thinking like that, then you're creating a vritti, a spiritual vritti, Krishna mana vritti. So your mind is thinking of Krishna. Then you're going to start those thoughts will pull feelings out of your heart, and the feelings of your heart will mix with those thoughts of Krishna. I mean, now it's Krishna thoughts mixed with Krishna's feelings becomes Krishna's actions, and that's bhakti. Movement is there. We're moving entities. There's no such thing as non-movement. Where is there non-movement? I don't know. I don't think. Where is there any non-movement here? Look at the atom. It's movement. There's movement in the atom. It can't get much smaller than that. Movement is everywhere. So the whole idea of Shastra is meant to move. Shastras, the teachings of Shastra are meant to get the mind in gear, get the mind in motion, change the movements of the mind. Shastras change the movements of the mind. And then that's the beginning. The Shastras, they reshape. The Shastras actually reshape the software of the mind. It's like reprogramming. The mind has its mayic software, and some software expert comes in and makes a whole new program to make a new operational system. So the Shastras are like software engineers. And we read them, and then they create a new program in our mind. And we start operating with our hardware in a different way. Our hands start moving in a different way. Our mouth starts moving in a different way. Instead of singing cinema songs, you're singing bhajans. You're a singer. 10 years ago, you sang love songs from Bollywood. So did I, 40 years ago, whatever. Oh, she loves me. So now we sing about Pyari Ju, Shama Ju, and Kishori, hey, Jumuna Jonge. Everything starts moving. When the mind starts moving. So all the instructions of Shastra are to change the direction of the manovritti, from maya manovritti to Krishna manovritti, the vibration to go. And then when you spend years and years doing that, your mind becomes your friend. You sit down and it produces so many wonderful preparations. Krishna's telling you, it's a switch. You can go either way. Your mind can be the best of friends or worst of enemies. I learned that verse, I don't remember just now the Sanskrit, but I remember the English, it was so touching to me. And when I was a new bhakta and the Gita, I don't know what the Gita's been changed sometimes, but the edition I had from ISKCON. The mind can be the best of friends or the worst of enemies. Because when you join, you know, everyone knows the nature of material mind. It's pretty fickle and crazy. And then you realize that this is it. Of course, if you already practice yoga, you know that anyway. But the mind is... And then another purport I remember Prabhupada said, mind is a pivot point of liberation or bondage. The pivot point of liberation or bondage. The mind connected to Guru and God is a liberating mind. The mind connected to Maya and the body and Maya is a binding mind. A binding mind. The mind connected to body and Maya is a binding mind. The mind connected to Guru and God is a liberating mind. That's friend. A friend is someone. What is a friend? Friend gives you something you want. So what do we want? We want happiness. We want peace, security, fulfillment, eternality, pleasure, variety, color, charm, natural air, water, people, everything. So that's the spiritual world. It was even here in Satya Yuga, the world here was like very beautiful and very nice, wonderful people, wonderful dealings. But still, death was the reality, old age was the reality, infirmity was there to some extent, hardly anything. All kinds of wonderful characteristics of Satya Yuga. But Abrahma Bhuvanaloka, Punar Arvatin Arjuna, 8th chapter Gita, 16th verse, whether you're Brahma or you're Indra Gop, whether you're Indra or Indra Gop, Indragop is a microscopic insect. Whether Indra, death is there. Mrityu sarva harascham. Right? Oh mind. I love these songs we sing. They start off, oh mind. I feel like writing a bhajan. Oh mind, never mind. Oh mind, never mind. Don't mind. Don't mind me, dear mind, don't mind me, forget me, will you mind? Don't mind me, never mind, never mind, don't mind. Don't remind me, ever heard this phrase, don't remind me? In other words, your mind went somewhere the wrong place and someone comes and says, hey, you forgot this, oh yeah, don't remind me. Maybe your mind goes to a good place. You become a devotee, and someone says, "Do you remember when you were before you were a devotee? You did all this nonsense like this." Hey, don't remind. We say, "Don't remind me" means don't send my thought waves back to that Maya. Don't redirect my thinking back there. Don't remind me. Don't make my mind go back that way. Re means back, you know. Recollect me. The word, the prefix re means back, go back. Repossess or reclaim or whatever. So don't remind me, don't put my mind back there. forward. The Hare Krishna mantra is the fuel to drive the mind to Krishna. The mind is a yantra. It's a linga yantra. It's a machine. Subtle. Ishvara sarvabhutanam riddhyash arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudani mayaya. This body, all these jivas, the body is a yantra, a machine. So it's a gross yantra and a subtle yantra. Hare Krishna mantra is the fuel to drive the mind to Krishna. Step on the gas. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What about, speaking of Hare Krishna, what about Hare Nam? Hare Bo. Are your hands thawed out enough to play mridanga? Where did it happen to that guy? He quit, huh?
He followed up.
Got too cold for the Bengali guy. Bengali guy, fair weather mridanga player. As soon as it got cold, he slid out of town. So, okay, bye, boys. I'm getting out of here. We don't. She doesn't ask.